this special extended podcast for the complete service for Sunday the 13th of September. Due to the restrictions on public worship across the Church of England, we are live streaming our services on Facebook for the foreseeable future. You can join us each Sunday at 10:15 a.m. without needing to be signed into Facebook. We'll be posting that necessary link along with other resources at www.stpeters.co/sermons. You may want to go and download the material to follow along this service and participate more fully. We compiled this podcast to enable those who are unable to join us live to worship in their own homes. We've also now added a complete video recording of the service, which you can access by visiting the sermon section of our website and selecting the date of the service you want to watch. This began on Sunday the 3rd of May.
Let it fall.
Good morning, everybody. Welcome, welcome. We welcome the Lord into this place and into this time as we gather together. Please be using the comments section on the Facebook page to share welcome to each other as well as to the Lord. We come to worship. We come to give God praise and adoration. And we are doing so at the same time as brothers and sisters as we meet in the church building at the same time. So we are gathering at the same time, even if not in the same place. So for those of you who've not joined us since July, I am recording this as live, but not live. So I won't be able to see any of your comments. So if you're telling me, Ned, what you're saying is stupid or anything like that, I won't be able to know until much later after the service when I come and check the comment section. So bear that in mind. You can talk to one another. So do feel free to do that. I encourage you to do that just to be a source of encouragement to each other, because it can feel, particularly now that we get into whatever month this is of scattered worship, it can begin to feel a bit like we're all on our own and relationships have been a bit strained. So do use the opportunity of the comment section to connect together with other people. I hope that in the setup for today's service, you were able to go to the website stpeters.co and download a service sheet. You will need that for the liturgy, not so much for the song words, because the song words will be on the screen, but you may want to be able to see which songs are coming up, but certainly for the liturgy to join in with that. As well, on the website there are the instructions for things that you might want to gather for activities. Some are optional. Well, they're all optional, obviously. I'm not going to force you to do any of them, but you'll need a piece of card of some description, just recycled card. I'm using Mr. Kipling's lemon layered slices. Other lemon layered slices are available, but that's the one that I was using, that I was eating. You'll need that for our activity. A little bit of a hint here as to what we might be doing with it. So bear that in mind. A pencil, ruler, rubber and some scissors. So you may need that for an activity later on. As well as a more optional activity, which we won't do during the service, but I will encourage you to do later on. That is also, yeah, there is another resource to download, again, optional, but there is a template for a Lazarus that will be connected to our reading today. We're going to be looking at the resurrection again, so it will feel like we're back at Easter, but it's always worth reminding ourselves of that. Let's begin with the opening liturgy, which you can find on your service sheets. We come from scattered lives to meet with God, so let us recognise his presence with us. Let's just take a few moments just to do that, to recognise God with us, to wait upon him, to ask him to come by his Spirit into this time and into this space. We commit this time to you, Lord. Come and speak to us. Come and meet with us. As God's people, we have gathered. So we say together, we come as we are. We will leave changed by the love of God. And part of that change that we expect to see in our lives after meeting with God, part of that change is about us acknowledging where we need to change, what in our life still requires some formation and some changing. And so I'm going to spend just this opening part just naming those things before God, being honest with him about the things that still need his work, still need his Spirit to transform. So Jesus Christ, risen Master, triumphant Lord, we come to you in the sorrow of our sins, to confess to you our weakness and our unbelief. We have lived by our own strength and not by the power of your resurrection. In your mercy, forgive us. Lord, hear us and help us. We have lived by the light of our own eyes, as faithless and not believing. In your mercy, forgive us. Lord, hear us and help us. We have lived for this world alone and doubted our home in heaven. In your mercy, forgive us. Lord, hear us and help us. May the God of love and of power forgive you and free you from your sins, heal and strengthen you by his Spirit, and raise you to new life in Christ our Lord. Amen. We're going to worship God, reflecting a bit on that, the gift of the Spirit to rise us in those last days, to be in the part of the resurrection into eternal life when Jesus returns. We're going to be reflecting on that a little through today. And so this song is new. Many of you won't have heard it before. So just use this as a form of reflection. Join in when you feel like it or when you can. It's called We Will Rise. that's helped. And I want you to keep those words, those imagery, that imagery in your mind as we turn now to our Bible readings and sharing from the Word of God. So our Gospel reading today is from John's Gospel, John chapter 11, starting at verse 17. Just so that you know where we're up to. Jesus has been called by some friends to go and visit his friend Lazarus in a place called Bethany. Bethany is a place where Mary and Martha, you may recognize those names, Mary and Martha live with their brother Lazarus, but Lazarus is ill. And Jesus takes his time, but heads towards going to see him. But unfortunately, when he gets there, he finds out that Lazarus has died. And so we pick up the story then. When Jesus arrived, he found that Lazarus had already been in the tomb for 4 days. Now, Bethany was near Jerusalem, some 2 miles away, and many of the Jews had come to Martha and Mary to console them about their brother. When Martha heard that Jesus was coming, she went and met him while Mary stayed at home. Martha said to Jesus, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. But even now I know that God will give you whatever you ask of him." Jesus said to her, "Your brother will rise again." Martha said to him, "I know that he will rise again in the resurrection on the last day." Jesus said to her, "I am the resurrection and the life. Those who believe in me, even though they die, will live. And everyone who lives and believes in me will never die. Do you believe this?" She said to him, "Yes, Lord. I believe that you are the Messiah, the Son of God, the one coming into the world." I don't know if the children were listening to that. I should have called them over to listen to this story. But I do encourage you to come around, kids, because I have some things that I want to talk to you about. Today, they're going to be quite difficult things to talk about. But I believe that you can do it. You can take this. In today's story, if you had listened, someone has died. A dear friend of Jesus had died. And he goes to visit him and his sisters, Mary and Martha. And when he arrives, Martha, being the active person that she is, wanting to do things. I don't know if you know of anyone who's like that. But when something happens, they just want to get on and do something about it. Well, Martha is that kind of person. And she runs out. She goes to meet with Jesus. Whereas Mary stays at home. She is much more reflective, much quieter than her sister. Martha runs out to Jesus and says to him, "Lazarus is dead. If you had come, if you'd been a bit quicker, he wouldn't have died. I know it." "But," she says, "I believe that God will give you whatever you ask of him." Maybe there's still a little bit of hope that it's not quite true, that Lazarus isn't as dead as they think he is, or whatever, despite him being buried for 4 days. That she still has this hope that God is going to do something great with this very bad situation. And I don't know if you ever had that, where something is going not as planned, where things are challenging and difficult, and maybe you're feeling a bit disappointed. There's still something in you, perhaps, which kind of feels like, yeah, but maybe it's not, maybe the story isn't finished yet. I want you to try and remember a time perhaps where you've thought that or you've felt that within you, because that's going to become really important in a moment. So she's asking, she's going, "I know that if you ask God something, he will make it happen." And Jesus says to her, "Your brother will rise again." There you go. Great, fantastic. Story's not ended. Here we go. But Martha is not as excited as we might expect. And she says, yes, I know that he's going to rise, but way into the future, you know, in this resurrection of the last days. You know, yes, I know that he's going to come back to life when we all come back to life, you know, in that kingdom that you keep talking about, Jesus. Well, that certainly is true. And Martha is right to say that. But Jesus says to her, I am the resurrection and the life. Those who believe in me, even though they die, will live. And everyone who lives and believes in me will never die. This is a bit of a confusing thing. Even I find this slightly confusing. Jesus is the resurrection and the life. What he means by that is that he is the one who helps people to have life. It is through him that we have life. It is because of Jesus and because of God and the Holy Spirit that we are alive. And if someone dies and we want them to be raised again, well, we're going to need God because we can't do that. Once someone is dead, they're dead, except for when God's involved. So he's saying, I am the resurrection and the life. You know, so if I'm here, I can do whatever I like because I am the resurrection and the life. Everyone who, even though they die, will live. Well, that's what Martha was saying, that we're all going to die at some point, aren't we? Because, you know, that's what happens. Everyone dies, even Jesus. But they will live. But then it gets difficult when it says, everyone who lives and believes in me will never die. Well, I've just said everyone is going to die. That's what we see in the world. But what it means is this, and this is the complicated bit, so I really want you to focus and concentrate. What we know as death, when we see someone lose their life and we have a funeral for them and we say goodbye to them, that sadness and that grief is right and proper. But when Jesus was there before his resurrection, that was it. Full stop. End of conversation, end of story. Now, because of Jesus, the resurrection and the life, because of that death isn't what we think it is anymore. That full stop, end of story isn't going to happen. That all of us who live and believe in Jesus will never have an end to our story, that there's always more story to tell. Jesus asks if Martha believes this. And she says, yes, Lord, I believe that you are the Messiah, the Son of God, the one coming into the world. That sounds very familiar to what Peter said when Jesus asked him and the disciples, who do you say that I am? And Peter said, we believe that you are the Messiah, the Son of God. And do you remember what Jesus said to the disciples when they pronounced that? That it wasn't given by teaching. They're not just learning that and it's like, this is what the answer to that question is. But that God was inspiring them to say those things, to know those things, to have faith in those things. That the belief that Jesus can do all the things that he promised that he could do and to give to us resurrection and the life, we believe in that because God has shown us. And so if we don't believe in Jesus as God's Son, as God on earth, as being able to continue on our stories, if we don't believe in that, and we want to, the place we go to is God himself. We ask him to come by his Spirit and to show us again how this is true. Because it is on that faith, on that belief, that God's church is built. That God works in the world. And this is how it's done. It's because we can now live our life without a sense of, oh, there's going to be an end at some point. We can live our life even when we face things which sort of seem like, well, that's it, end of story. It was a nice run whilst we had it, but actually things are going pretty badly now. And all the disappointment, all the grief, maybe all the fear and anxiety that we feel about the way that the world is going at the moment, the way our lives are going, the way in which there's lots of endings and difficult situations, all of that, we can now live to say, but that's not the end of the story. I want you to think again of some of your favourite movies. We did this last week, if you were around. We asked you what your favourite movies were, and we had some great suggestions, the Troll movie and a couple of others. I want you to think about your favourite movies and think about some of those movies where you kind of think that the baddies are going to win. We thought about that last week as well, didn't we? We thought about how we might see the story from the point of view of the villains, from the bad people. Well, I want you to think of the stories when you kind of think, oh, there's some danger that actually this film is not going to end with a happy ending. I want you to think about those movies. And remember that feeling of anxiety and fear, you know, where it's like going, oh, no. These good people. I don't know if you've seen Toy Story 4, but Toy Story 3, where that really, really scary moment happens, where Woody and Buzz and all the toys are going into the big fire, and it's like, oh no, it's all the end, and you just can't imagine how they're going to get out of it. And I remember watching that in the cinema and just kind of being really scared and crying and... But it wasn't the end of the story. That even in the uncertainty of the future, that is not the end of the story. And what Jesus says today, and how we should live our lives, is that we know that there is more of the story to tell. That the resurrection even can reverse the death that we all experience, the loss that we experience of things. God is able to resurrect, to redeem, all these big words that we use. It's just to continue the story on until a happy ending. But we still experience along the way those moments of danger, those moments of fear and anxiety. So I want to get you to do an activity for me. I want you to get a piece of card. Your parents should have got you a piece of card from recycling. As I said, I'm using this piece of card. And what I want you to do is get a ruler, ding, and a pencil. And I want you to draw a straight line. I've done it 8 centimetres. So you might want to start with 8 centimetres. Or 16 centimetres, depending on how big your piece of card is, okay? I'm only using 8 centimetres because that's how big my piece of card is. That's going to be clear. But either 8 centimetres or 16 centimetres, okay? So I want you to draw a straight line along the ruler for that. And then I want you to find halfway down that line. Sorry, I'm getting you to do some maths. So if it's 8 centimetres, halfway down is going to be 4 centimetres. And if it's 16 centimetres, halfway down is 8 centimetres. Don't know if you got that right or not. Congratulations if you did. I want you to mark just with a pencil that line there. Then if you've drawn a straight line down like that, for example, and you get halfway down, I want you to just then rotate it so that you have a straight line across. So you're going to make a cross and you're going to make that line the same length. So either 8 centimetres or 16 centimetres. I hope parents are helping with this. Okay? Hope you've done that. Now, what we're going to do is we're going to be making a hexagon like this. So I've done a line here, 8 centimetres, and another one here, 8 centimetres, going across there. Now, the next part is you're going to draw this line here, okay? What you do is, if it's 8 centimetres, if you've done 8 centimetre lines, I want you to get to the end of that that horizontal line and get your ruler so that it's vertical, like this. And you're going to make this this line 4.5 centimetres, okay? So you need to kind of get to about 2.25 centimetres at the end of the line and draw a line 4.5 centimetres down, okay? So that it looks like that. So you've got this line here, okay? And then do the same on the other side here and draw that line. The last bit is just to draw these lines that go diagonal. So from the top of one vertical line, you draw it to the top of the other, and then again down to there, and do the same on the bottom. So it should look like that at the end, okay? Parents, do help your children do that. That's only just to make it so that it's nice and even. That means all those straight lines around the edge are almost equal, almost equal. Then you're going to rub out the horizontal line, and you're going to draw, just connect up and just make segments. So from each corner, you go to the opposite corner, opposite corner, like that, and same here, up, that one should already be done, and again, this one up there, okay? So you're going to draw that. And here's the difficult bit. You might want a skewer or a pencil, a sharp pencil will do it. But you're going to just, on this segment here in the centre, you're going to pierce the hole, okay? You're going to just push it through. My pencil's not sharp enough. But here's one I made earlier. I used a skewer, but be careful if you do that. So you've basically made a little spinner, okay? And you're going to push your a pencil or a pen or whatever, preferably a pencil. You're going to push it in like that, and you've got a little spinning top, okay? Which, if you spin, just check it works. If you spin it, it lands on one of the edges, okay? I can't show you how to do that, but it spins and it lands like that on the thing. Okay, if it works, brilliant. What I want you to do is, I want you to write in each of those segments a name of a person that you think you would go to if you're feeling sad or you're feeling anxious or you're afraid of how things are turning out, okay? Which at this moment you might be feeling. You might be feeling, oh, I don't know what it's going to be like at school. I don't know, you know, all of those sorts of things. Those are normal. Who are the people, and you've got six, okay? Think of six people that you trust to go to say, I'm feeling a bit sad, or I'm feeling a bit anxious at the moment, and that you think will be helpful and encouraging. Just like Martha turned to Jesus when she was feeling sad, and Mary did as well. Think about those people. Who would you turn to when you are sad or anxious, okay? And write them down. Then you've got a spinner. Now, I'm going to tell you something about when I go to restaurants, which I don't do very often anymore. But when I used to go to restaurants and I had a menu and I didn't know what I was going to choose. I don't know if you've ever been in that experience when you've had to choose something from the menu and you don't know, you've got lots of things that you like and you want. What I usually do is I usually pick. I get it down to two options. I try to get it down to two options. And if I'm really struggling, I don't know, do I want a steak or do I want pizza? Oh, which one? I'll have both of them in my head. And when the waiter or waitress comes over to take the order, I say one of them. And as they write it down, I note how I feel about that choice. And if I kind of go, actually, no, I really want pizza. I've said steak, but I want pizza. I say, sorry, I'm just trying that out. I actually want pizza and I changed my mind. This spinner might be like that. So next time you're feeling sad or anxious, you've got a little spinner which you can go, oh, I'm feeling a bit anxious. I'm going to spin this button and land it on that person. And then you think, ah, will they be helpful in this situation? And it might be that you suddenly go, oh, it's mum. Actually, do I go to mum? Actually, probably not, because mum's a bit stressed herself at the moment. And then try and spinning it again. You've got six people. One of those people will be the right person to go to and be encouraged. But see what it leads you to have conversations. Because it's absolutely okay to be able to say, I'm a bit scared. I'm a bit scared that this is how the story's going to end. And you want to find people in your life who will remind you that the story doesn't end that way, that there is more story to tell, that we have the hope, because Jesus conquered death, that death, probably the worst thing that can happen to any of us, that we're going to die. That's the worst thing that's going to happen. Even that is not the end of the story anymore, that we live in the light of the resurrection. And so we need to surround ourselves with people who are going to remind us of that, who are going to take our pain and our difficulty and our stress and our anxiety seriously, who are going to listen and care for us, hold us and comfort us, but then remind us that the story's not over yet, that there's more story to tell. Let's wait and ask God to be in our story. There is an optional extra activity for you to do, and that is on the website. Your parents should be able to download it, which is to cut out an image of the tomb and Lazarus, and you can color that in, design it, make the tomb look sparkly and colorful if you like. And there's a little slit at the bottom which you need to cut out, and then you can slip your Lazarus thing in and he moves along and you can get him to move. So have fun creating that. Whilst you make that, you might want to have a chat with your parent or your guardian, whoever's with you at the moment, and talk to them perhaps about where your story's up to at the moment, whether you're feeling like actually the ending's going to be really exciting and you're looking forward to the future, or whether you're scared about it, and to talk one another about that, remembering that Jesus has more story to tell in your life. We're going to listen to a worship song, and join in with a worship song if you know it. This was from my youth. It's a Catholic hymn, so some of you may not know it. It's a good classic, so it might be a bit cheesy for you. I apologise for that, but it is a great song. And I couldn't talk about the resurrection without having this hymn. And I always resist using it on Easter Sunday at St. Peter's because people might not know it. But hey, we're online and you can re-listen to it again. Trust me. Well, no, actually, I don't know. But it gets inside my head. It really does. It's just, it's an earworm for me. So this is called I Am the Resurrection. Let's worship the Lord together.
I am the rest. should not be surprised when all the world despises you. For the world despised the Son of God, and he has been raised up. I am the resurrection, I am eternal.
You will be singing that over and over again. we turn now to our Acts of the Apostles reading. We continue to look at it. Because of the transition into joint mission partnership services from October, we are going to be speeding up the Acts of the Apostles to get to the end. To be honest, I'm pretty grateful that it's worked out this way, because Acts of the Apostles becomes quite repetitive as Paul just goes from one trial to another and continues to put his case in similar ways. And we're sort of going to talk about that today. So we're kind of sort of jumping slightly quicker through the Acts of the Apostles to finish it by the end of the month, in the next 2 weeks, 3 weeks. So we've got another four chapters to get through. So we're going to be jumping quite largely ahead. I encourage you to go and read the bits in between, if you like. But just a quick catch up before I read this passage as to what's happened since last week's Bible reading. We finished last week with the plot to kill Paul. Paul has faced up to the tribune, has gone in front of them, and then the Jews had said that they'd made an oath that they weren't going to eat or drink until they killed Paul. But Paul manages to escape, and the tribune dismisses Paul and sends him off to Felix, the governor. So he's basically going up the hierarchy, which is good news, because if you remember, Jesus has said to Paul in a vision that he is going to make his case in Rome to the highest authority. So it's heading in the right direction. The story's going in the right direction. Paul gets sent to Felix, the governor, and he stands before him, and the case is put against Paul. You know, accusations are made against Paul, and they say, you know, this man is causing trouble. He's gone into the temple. He's basically caused, you know, he's incited violence and has desecrated our temple, etc., and profaned the temple. So we seized him to try and keep public order. We're trying to keep public order here. So, you know, therefore, this is what we're accusing him of. And therefore, this is where we catch up with. Felix turns to Paul and allows Paul to speak. So we hear Paul's defence. But bear in mind, this is what he's been accused of, that he's inciting violence. He's desecrating the holy places and is disrupting the peace. So Acts chapter 24, verse 10. When the governor motioned to him to speak, Paul replied, "I cheerfully make my defence, knowing that for many years you have been a judge over this nation. As you can find out, it is not more than 12 days since I went up to worship in Jerusalem. They did not find me disputing with anyone in the temple or stirring up a crowd, either in the synagogues or throughout the city. Neither can they prove to you the charge that they now bring against me. But this I admit to you, that according to the way which they call a sect, I worship the God of our ancestors, believing everything laid down according to the law or written in the prophets. I have a hope in God, a hope that they themselves also accept, that there will be a resurrection of both the righteous and the unrighteous. Therefore, I do my best always to have a clear conscience before God and all people. Now, after some years, I came to bring alms to my nation and to offer sacrifices. While I was doing this, they found me in the temple, completing the rite of purification without any crowd or disturbance. But there were some Jews from Asia. They ought to be here before you to make an accusation if they have anything against me. Or let these men here tell what crime they had found when I stood before the council. Unless it was this one sentence that I called out while standing before them. It is about the resurrection of the dead that I am on trial before you today." But Felix, who was rather well informed about the way, adjourned the hearing with the comment, "When Lysias, the tribune, comes down, I will decide your case." Then he ordered the centurion to keep him, Paul, in custody, but to let him have some liberty and not to prevent any of his friends from taking care of his needs. Some days later, when Felix came with his wife Drusilla, who was Jewish, he sent for Paul and heard him speak concerning faith in Christ Jesus. And as he discussed justice, self-control, and the coming judgment, Felix became frightened and said, "Go away for the present. When I have an opportunity, I will send for you." At the same time, he hoped that money would be given to him by Paul. And for that reason, he used to send for him very often and converse with him. After 2 years had passed, Felix was succeeded by Porcius Festus. And since he wanted to grant the Jews a favour, Felix left Paul in prison. It's a long passage. We need to get through Acts of the Apostles. That's why it's long. Apologise for that. Some really interesting things. I wonder if you heard them as I read it through. Paul begins his defence being accused of quite strong things, quite scary things. I don't know if any of you have ever been accused in a similar way, something that you genuinely don't think you did. And Paul cheerfully makes his defence. And then he says, "Knowing that you, Felix, have been judge of the nation," he brings justice into this. Who is the judge of the nations? Now, Felix is not a Christian. Felix is not even a Jew. Felix is the enemy of the Jews. He's a Roman. It's like Pontius Pilate. And he's there going, "Well, you've been put in place here to judge." So, and Paul seems quite happy with that. This is earthly, not the kingdom of God. And Paul, in his letter to the Corinthians, I think it's the Corinthians, says that, you know, we will be judged over all things. We have been put in position of judges. So we shouldn't be going to the judges of the world, because we should be able to judge between ourselves. Well, here, Paul is clearly using the leadership of the world as a benefit. We'll get onto that near the end. But he states who is actually in power here. And And why is he cheerful? You know, the Romans don't care for the Jews and, you know, killed Jesus just like that. In a similar case, you might hear echoes of Jesus' own trials. That Paul is following very much in the footsteps of Jesus, of being used by some people, taken by them to another authority to make a judgment. And so Paul is cheerful, though, in this defense, and seems pretty straightforward. I mean, he's got his defense quite clearly because he wasn't inciting violence. He wasn't doing all of these things. But he does need to go through this process. He needs to be going through this process so that he can have a clear conscience, so that there's no question about it, so he can clear up the matter and make his defense. That's right and proper, and we should all be seeking to do that. But I wonder if you noticed that he quickly goes over, fine. They're saying that I did that, but they haven't got any proof. And here's my defense. You know, you be the judge. You know, he's not saying, therefore, it's obvious and you should be making this judgment. He leaves it up to him. But he takes this opportunity to talk directly to Felix about the way, which is the way in which he talks about being a Christian. That was the common language of it. I admit to you that according to the way, which they call a sect, I worship the God of our ancestors. That the Jews were calling it a sect, this sort of, it's bizarre, it's extreme, it's out of the normal, it's not what most people believe in. We've got lots of sects at the moment in our world. It's very hard to know what isn't a sect, because everything seems a bit extreme. But anyway, side the point. He says, I admit that actually what I believe in, they also believe in. We share belief. He is trying to find reconciliation and unity. He is stating what we all agree upon, that the God of our ancestors has laid down who he is through the law and the prophets. And he has a hope in God, a hope that there will be the resurrection of both the righteous and the unrighteous. Now, here, Paul is being a bit clever. He's being a bit sly, as he always is, of playing the Pharisees off with the Sadducees, because they had a different understanding of the resurrection. But he talks about the resurrection, which is a generally accepted thing. We heard about it in the gospel reading. Martha believed in the resurrection of the life to come. This wasn't new theology, it wasn't new doctrine. The Jews had this understanding, or parts of the Jewish faith at the time had this view that the resurrection would happen, that there would be life eternal, and that God would come to judge both the righteous and the unrighteous, and the unrighteous would go into non-existence, go into Sheol and be buried in the earth and forgotten about, and the righteous would live and would have creation restored, and they would be in charge. And that understanding, that Christian understanding of the resurrection, is actually a Jewish thought which has been brought in. Jesus hasn't changed anything like that, hasn't brought anything out. Only thing he has done is shown that it is true, that it is possible to be resurrected through belief in God. And then Paul says, you know, so I believe the same things as they do. These activities that they're blaming me for and accusing me of, there's no proof. Show me the proof and I'll talk to you about it. But ultimately, but I want to take this opportunity to say that I do believe in this. Felix, what do you think about that? You know, because Felix doesn't believe in that. He's a Roman, so he doesn't believe in the resurrection. So Paul takes this opportunity to not focus on his accusers, but to focus on the person that he stands before, taking the opportunity, even as he is bombarded with challenge, and that will make him angry, I'm sure, will make him bitter, well, you know, defensive and everything. Even in that situation, he takes a breather and he cheerfully says, I want to talk to you, Felix, about God, about Jesus, about the way, about resurrection. And causing Felix to be personally involved. Paul could have quite easily have, you know, defended himself against the Jews and said, you know, just get rid of them, please. And then, you know, I'll leave you to it. But he doesn't. He's like, they've got no defence. I'm all right. I'm fine. God's going to raise me from the dead. You know, I have hope that the story's not going to end here. So I'm going to take this opportunity to talk to you, Felix, about the resurrection. It's a real challenge, certainly to me, when I am feeling defensive, when people come with accusations against me, when they come with criticism, complaint, they come with aggression, and they come with a way of forcing me to take responsibility for all their anxiety and pain, and lump it all on me and say, it's all your fault, and blaming me for, you know, everything. Then even with all of that, I find it very difficult to hold on to the hope and to say, right, still is the opportunity to talk about the resurrection and to be cheerful and joyful and hopeful. I'm just so focused on defending myself and protecting myself and, you know, not seeing the worst case scenario and all of those sorts of things. It's a real challenge. But here Paul is cheerfully making his defense. So what is it that makes him cheerful? It's this constant reminder that he has within him, this hope of the resurrection. If we can keep the resurrection very much at the forefront of our mind, that each morning we remind ourselves that that is the end of the story, that that is where we're going, we can ride out the danger, we can ride out the anxiety, we can ride out the anger and the aggression and the defensiveness and all of those things. We can ride that out with the hope of the resurrection, as Paul does here. Now, Felix, who was rather well informed of the way, which is good news, Paul taking this opportunity to maybe challenge him and push him a little bit further down the line to make a commitment, he orders him to be kept, to not be killed or taken into custody for that reason. He gives to him liberty, which is not a given. You know, if you were kept in prison, you weren't fed, you weren't watered, you had to sort that out yourself. And often they would sort. So most people just died in custody and starved. Well, Felix doesn't want that to happen. So he wants to keep Paul alive, so allows his friends to come and take care of his needs, feed him, etc. Then Felix comes with his wife, Drusilla, who's a Jew. Very interesting dynamic there, and calls Paul out and hears him concerning the faith in Christ Jesus. And they discuss justice, self-control, and the coming judgment. Paul talks to Felix about justice, self-control, and the coming judgment. Those are interesting topics to talk about. Why does he have a conversation with Felix about it? They're talking about Christ Jesus. And he talks about justice and judgment. Well, remember, at the beginning, he notices that Felix is in a seat of judgment. And so what Paul, I assume, is talking to Felix about is saying, how do you judge? You're in a position of authority. How do you work that? Here's how Jesus does it. That you should be marking yourself by a really great judge. Let me tell you about a really good judge. It's Jesus. And here is how he executes justice. And here is what it means to have self-control. You know, not just being impulsive, not just taking the easy way out and making quick judgments, but to be measured, to have the eternal vision. Often we make rash decisions. I have certainly been tripped up over making quick, urgent decisions because people want the decision now. And, you know, here's the problem, solve the problem, do it now. You know, I guess you've all experienced that sort of urgency. And I'm forced into making a decision, which in later light just means that has scuppered a whole process and everything like that. Much rather, I should have had an eternal perspective. A sense of, don't know why you're rushing me, I've got all the time in eternity. You know, even if we die before the decision is made, still, I've got time after that. The resurrection enables me to pause, to slow down, to be more self-controlled, to say, I don't need to do everything immediately right now because the story is not about to end. That even if the story changes, and changes for the worse, and I'm disappointed by that. Even if that's the case, I believe in the resurrection. I believe that God has still stories to tell. And so even if at this point in time I'm in the back foot, that the kingdom of God is losing to the world, where suddenly the voices of unreasonable voices and attacks are made on the church and persecution is happening and whatever I feel is going on, I believe in the resurrection. Do not act rashly, Ned. Do not make those quick judgments, Ned. Have self-control. He's trying to open to Felix the vision of heaven, the vision of eternal life where fear and anxiety are gone. How can we minimize that in our current day? By talking to people about this new vision. We looked a couple of weeks ago about Peter and this sense in which Peter is asked who God is, and he makes the statement, "You are the Son of God." And then we said about how earth and heaven now, the keys of heaven have been given to him, that earth and heaven, there's no more a boundary between them, that what happens on earth is happening in heaven and vice versa. We need to have that perspective as we look at the world, with all the chaos, with all the attacks and the violence that is happening on both sides of the political spectrum, whatever is happening in the world that causes us to feel anxious and fearful and all of those sorts of things. With the vision of the resurrection at the very centre, we can know that even if this is happening in heaven, God is more powerful. That God may be waiting. He's allowing all of this stuff to happen because he's waiting for it all to calm down, for him to finish the story. Because he can redeem the story. We do not need to do that for him. We do not need to get up and rush things through. And if we feel ourselves being urgent and rash and everything needs to happen now, because if it doesn't happen now, it's never going to happen. All of those sorts of feelings, I have become very cautious about them, wary about them. How can I be more self-controlled, make right judgments in the light of the resurrection? So we are going to need the Spirit. We're going to need the Holy Spirit to come and be with us more and more in the coming weeks and months, as we continue to face uncertainty, as we continue to observe and experience violence and anxiety being passed around the world, as people try to put blame on other people and make accusations about people, call people stupid and ignorant or out of control, or neo-Marxists or neo-Nazis, and all this sort of extremism that's stretching us apart, that has been doing it for months, if not years. We, as people of God, people of the way, in the hope of the resurrection, can wait, can cheerfully just defend ourselves and to say, "You may accuse me of doing X, Y, and Z. You may accuse me of being this or being that. And you may want to try and dismiss me. You may want to kill my reputation in the world. Well, so be it. I will die to the reputation of the world. You can say whatever you like. You can make me out to be the worst, evilest person in all the world," because that's how the world works now. You take down your enemies by making them seem to be the most stupid or ignorant or the most foolish or whatever. That we can take all of that and yet cheerfully defend ourselves and say, "No, that's not what I said," or "No, that's not what I believe," or whatever. But don't fight it. Instead, take every opportunity to talk about how you can remain peaceful, non-urgent, non-rash, to breathe, to take it all in, and to say, "I have hope in the resurrection of both the righteous and the unrighteous. And when I stand before God, he will judge me. That will be the final judgment. That will be the final full stop as to how my story ends. If I can stand before God with a clear conscience, I'm all right. I may not be able to stand before the world with a clear conscience, with a clear bill, like how they want me to live, but that's not what I'm living for. I'm living for the kingdom of God. So we're going to worship. We're going to sing and ask God to come and fall on us in the Holy Spirit, to fill us, to guide our hearts and our minds, to fix our eyes on Jesus, our risen Lord and Master, and to follow him in the resurrection to eternal life. So let's worship together.
Breathe on me, breath of God, fill me with life anew, that I may love what you would love, that I may do what you would do.
Thank you.
So let's pray. We pray to Jesus, who is present with us to eternity. Jesus, light of the world, bring the light and peace of your gospel to the nations. Jesus, Lord of life, in your mercy, hear us. Jesus, bread of life, give food to the hungry. And nourish us all with your word. Jesus, Lord of life, in your mercy, hear us. Jesus, our way, our truth, our life, be with us and all who follow you in the way. Deepen our appreciation of your truth and fill us with your life. Jesus, Lord of life, in your mercy, hear us. Jesus, good shepherd, who gave your life for the sheep, recover the straggler, bind up the injured, strengthen the sick, and lead the healthy and strong to new pastures. Jesus, Lord of life, in your mercy, hear us. Jesus, the resurrection and the life, we give you thanks for all who have lived and believed in you. Raise us with them to eternal life. Jesus, Lord of life, in your mercy, hear us. Accept our prayers and be with us always. Amen. So as our Saviour taught us, so we pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen. Deliver us, Lord, from every evil, and grant us peace in our day. In your mercy, keep us free from sin, and protect us from all anxiety, as we wait in joyful hope for the coming of our Saviour, Jesus Christ. Amen. We are going to be drawing our service to a close now. Before we do, just a few notices. These are repeat notices, so if you were here last week, you can sort of slightly pay less attention, but do keep an ear open. You may hear something to remind you. Firstly, about the online worship and rota. I am currently just finishing off the rota. It should be coming out, by the time you're hearing this, tomorrow, Monday, it will be coming out. So if you are on the rota and you've requested to be on the rota, you will be getting an email. If you are on the rota usually, and you would expect to get a rota, to be involved in worship in some way, and you haven't been in contact with me, I've not put you on the rota, because I'm not assuming that I've got anyone who is able to help out, except for those who've said explicitly in this season that they can. So if you would still like to be involved in the worship in some way, either in person worship or online, then please do let me know. The ways in which you can be involved online are doing a reading, writing and leading the intercessions, and preaching. Those are the ways in which you can be involved. So please do let me know if that's if you want to help out in that way. In person worship, there are ways in which you can help out if you are willing and comfortable to join us for that, and that is on the welcome, helping out with the projection, running the computer for the liturgy. Indeed, I'm beginning to explore to do preaching. So if you're on the preaching rota, you can tell me that you're up for that. I'm beginning to contemplate getting people to help with the readings on Sunday morning in person as we begin to work our way into a long term future for in-person worship as we gather together. In terms of the restrictions, just to let you know, for those of you who may have contemplated coming to live worship but didn't because of the restrictions, the current restrictions that the government have put in this week don't apply to worship, or at least that's certainly what we've been told so far. So we are still able to gather more than six people. And as the Archbishop of Canterbury says, this is work. Worship is work, the work of God. So we are able still to gather for acts of worship in more than six people, but we will be socially distant and wearing masks, and the usual restrictions, which are available on our website, still apply. So do come and join us if you would like to. So that's the rota. Also coming up, we are nearly at a point at which we can agree an annual meeting. It's looking like it's going to be in October. We will let you know the date next week. Annual meeting is an opportunity for us to meet. We are still unsure as to what that will look like. It may just be online with a few of us meeting, less than six perhaps. So it is... it's still open for the Church of England to tell us how we might do an annual meeting, but we've still got a date coming up. And that meeting will be a chance for you to connect in and to find out how we've been surviving through lockdown and looking ahead to the coming months as well. It is also obviously an opportunity for us to nominate new members onto the PCC. Some will continue on in serving in that way, but there will be some spaces free for you to nominate people to represent the congregation fairly in the leadership team and the direction of the church. I want to encourage you to pray. Pray not just whether or not you would be called to do it, although you can do that, of course, but to pray, who, Lord, do you want to represent me on the PCC? And then to let me know who you hear in prayer. So please do invest in that and let me know who you think would be good on the PCC so that we can both approach them in a prayerful and dignified way and force them to sign up. No, but to vote them on. That would be good. The final notice is about Christmas. We are looking ahead to Christmas and making plans, preliminary plans about it. We are still going to be doing our usual Advent sermon series. Those of you who've been around St. Peter's for a while will know that we look at a book through Advent, a Christmas book, to encourage us to reflect on Christmas. We've done The Lion, the Witch and the Wardrobe and A Christmas Mystery. This year, we're going to do A Christmas Carol by Charles Dickens. We're going to be looking at that and exploring that, which gives an opportunity for families to watch Muppet's Christmas Carol, which is always a good thing to do. So we're going to be looking at that over Advent. We're going to be doing it with our mission partnership, but I will be leading that. So we look forward to that. And there will also be other activities and services, but most of them will be online. Things like the Christingle service. We are looking at ways in which we can do the Christingle online. Get ready for that. And if people start talking to you about, oh, what's the church going to do for Christmas this year? You can tell them, nothing's changed. We've just gone online. And that means that we can reach more people with the good news of Jesus's birth and presence with us. I think that's it in terms of notices. I don't think there's anything else that I need to say. Again, if I have forgotten something, future Ned will then put a notice in the comment section if there is something to add. We're going to worship now with our final song. What a beautiful name, the name of Jesus. So let's worship God together.
You were the Word at the beginning, one with God, the Lord Most High. Your hidden glory in creation, now revealed in you, our Christ. What a beautiful name it is. What a beautiful name it is. The name of
As we come to the end of our service, final blessing before we go on our way. May God the Father, by whose love Christ was raised from the dead, open to you who believe the gates of everlasting life.
May God the Son, who in bursting from the grave has won a glorious victory, give you joy as you share the faith. And may God the Holy Spirit, who filled the disciples with the life of the risen Lord, empower you and fill you with Christ's peace. And the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be with us all and remain with us now and always. Amen. Go into the world in peace. Be of good courage. Love without borders. Share without fear. Seek with passion and pray without ceasing. Go to love and serve the Lord. As family, we go to love, witness and grow for God's glory in our world. Have a good rest of your Sunday. Have a good week. Peace be with you.